13.11-14 English Standard Version. So it's on the screen there. But I'll read it. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I think Pastor Chris.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It is great to have you guys here worshiping with us. I hope that you all had a good Thanksgiving. And we are in the first day of Advent, so we can switch the slides to my slides. Oh, look, it's me. These are my screensaver. Hold on, let me switch this. All right. All right. We are in the first Sunday of Advent. This is a part of the Christian calendar, the 4 weeks before Christmas. And during this time, we kind of anticipate, we kind of look forward to Jesus' birth, right, Christmas. And we, as a church, kind of remember the reason why we celebrate Christmas, right? It's not just about the gifts, it's not just about all these, you know, decorations and all that stuff, but it's about the birth of Christ, right? That's what we focus on. Now, back in, 2,000 years ago for the Israelites, they were anticipating, looking forward to the coming king, right? The birth of Christ, because Christ hadn't come yet. And so, part of the season time was for them looking forward, right, to when is our Savior going to come? When is the Messiah going to come? For us now today, since Jesus has come already and died and rose again, the thing that we look forward to, not only during this Christmas season, not only remembering Christ's birth, but also we look forward, we anticipate Christ's return, because Christ is going to come back again. And so during this Advent season time, right, not only do we focus on the birth of Christ, but we also want to focus on the second coming of Christ again. And so these next couple of messages for these next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at that. We'll be looking at, who Jesus was and who he is, and also at the same time also looking forward to, Christ coming again. All right? So let's go ahead. Let me pray one more time, and then we will go ahead and, get into our sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much just for the many blessings that you have blessed us with, especially during this holiday season, Thanksgiving, that just happened. We are so thankful just for your blessings to us. We are thankful for this church as well, like Stephen said, and I'm thankful for all these people here. And so we pray that during this time that we would continue to be reminded that all these good things come from you, and that we would continue to give you praise, give you joy, give you thanks. And even if things are not so good, that we would continue to still have this heart of being thankful for your love for us, and that we could still extend that same kind of thankfulness to those around us. And so we pray for this time as we get into your word. May you just speak to us. May you touch our hearts, and may we be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you guys have, or I guess I should ask you guys, have you guys ever missed an important kind of event or important date? Something that you were planning on doing, but you missed it, either because you overslept or you slept through it, or like you were just too busy and you got caught up with other things and then you kind of forgot about whatever you were supposed to do. I don't know if you guys have ever had that happen to you guys. It's not a good feeling. I have two stories that I kind of want to share, right? The first one, so I have never missed something important because I slept through it. Like, I just, fell asleep and then didn't wake up. Okay, so that's a good thing. But there was once when I was scheduled to lead worship, and I almost missed it because I overslept, okay? This was here at Canaan. This was a couple of years ago. This was pre-kid, so it wasn't because of, being a dad and all that and adjusting to that. It was just I forgot to set my alarm. all right, the night before. So I overslept, and I remember getting a call. I believe it was Arthur, and he called me, and he's like, are you coming to practice this morning? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like yes, I am on my way. And so I, like, you know, got ready, and I ran out the door. And in my haste, not only was late, but I forgot my guitar because I was, like, in a hurry. So I was driving, and I was like, I forgot my guitar. And I was like, I can't turn around and, you know, go back. So I had to, like, you know, tell May, hey, May, I'm, you know, could you please come and bring my guitar for me? So anyways, I got here in time to practice. We got, like, you know, a good 15 minutes or so, and then right into, you know, worship. And it was okay. I think it was okay. I remember. Anyways, so that was a time where I almost missed something. But there was a time when I actually missed speaking at a church. Okay, and this was a couple of years ago as well, back when I was at EFC Irvine. So I'd just gone out of college. I was serving at a church at EFC Irvine. And EFC churches, Irvine is a part of a larger EFC group of churches. Okay, so there's a lot of EFC churches down in LA. And one of the churches, San Fernando Valley, they were going through a transitional time. And so they were trying to fill, you know, slot. Their pastor had moved on, and so they're looking for, you know, people just to guest speak. And so I was pretty excited. I enjoy preaching, and so I kind of jumped at the opportunity to go and guest speak at this church, right? So I was really excited about it. The elder, you know, contacted me, we emailed each other, and I was really excited to go and speak at this church. And so the day that I was supposed to go preach, I got up extra early, you know, and I made sure this is my first guest speaking engagement, right? So I want to make sure I got there early on time and ready to go. But I had never been to this church before. Okay, I had never been there. And so this was before I had a smartphone. This was before I had a GPS in my car. And so I used MapQuest. Okay, some of you guys, a little older, you guys used to use MapQuest. It's kind of like, you know, Google Maps or whatever, but you just print it out and it'll just give you the, you know, directions of, you know, where to go and all that. It's on a piece of paper, right? So if you miss anything, you're not going to be able to find any alternate routes, okay? So I printed it out. I was ready to go. I started driving, and as I do every time I preach, you know, I start going through my message in my head, right? Because I want to make sure it's good. So I turn, get on the highway, you know, go through my message, turn, go through my highway, whatever, keep going, go over from my message. The church is about an hour, a little bit more than an hour away, okay? So it's a good drive, and so I was like, all right, just go. I'm early. It's good. About an hour into my drive, I'm like, you know what? I should be getting close to the exit, right, that I'm supposed to be going on. But it's not there, right? So I look, and, you know, on the highway, you know, there's a little sign, like, next three exits. I'm like, okay, it's not the next three exits. Keep going. It's not these next three exits either. All right, keep going. And then I start getting a little nervous. I'm like, okay, all right, maybe it's the next three, right? And then so I kept going. And then I started, like, speeding up a little bit, going a little faster, because, okay, maybe it's the next one. And then maybe I passed it. But how about if it's the next one? You know, I don't want to, like, turn around and then, you know, miss it. It's like, if it's the next exit. So I just kept driving. And I kept driving. And then after, like, 15, 20 minutes or so, I was like, okay, I definitely went too far, okay? So I pulled off, went to a gas station back then, right, to look for directions. Went inside, and the guy didn't know. He's like, I don't know where this church is. Like, what am I supposed to do? So we actually busted out, like, a, you know, like a map, like an atlas kind of a thing, you know. We, like, looked. I was like, oh my gosh, I overshot it by, like, really far. I, like, went really far past it. And so I was like, oh no, I'm really late. Now, this might have been a little bit of an oversight, but I actually didn't have the phone number to the guy, the elder who contacted. We just contacted through email. That was just the way that we were doing everything then. And so I didn't have his number. I had no way to get in contact with anyone from the church. And so I couldn't tell them that I was lost or I was running late. And so anyways, I turned around, I drove back, and I got to the church right after the service ended. So I got there, but the service had ended. And I was really embarrassed. You know, I got there and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, I missed the exit. I just kept driving. I didn't know where I was going. And, you know, they were very gracious to me. They were just like, you know, we're glad you're safe. We thought you got in an accident or something. And the good thing, God is very good to their church as well, is they had a missionary that they support and the missionary had just come back like the day before, and wasn't planning on going to the church, but decided, you know, just to go because it was Sunday. And so that missionary shared like their testimony and shared what they're doing and stuff like that. So they had somebody kind of cover their message time. But they rescheduled me, you know, and I did make it the next time. I got there on time, early. I was able to preach, and everything went smooth. But it was very kind of a nervous time, right, when you miss something important. And you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened, you know, to me. I can't believe that happened to me. So I don't know if you guys have ever missed anything kind of important like that. But the Apostle Paul, in the letter of Romans here that we read this morning, he tells us about something else that we really don't want to miss, okay? An important event that we don't want to miss, and that is the second coming of Christ, right? And he's saying, again here, you know, we have to be ready because Christ is coming again. He is going to return. He is coming again. And this is a date, this is an event that you don't want to sleep through. This is a date, this is an event that you don't want to be so distracted by other things that you're going to miss it. You're going to miss out on his coming again, right? So you have to be prepared, you have to be ready for his coming. So let's go ahead, let's read the passage one more time. Again, from your Bibles, Romans chapter 15, or 13, sorry, verses 11 to 14. So this is what it says here. All right, it says, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, and the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the daytime, not in orgies or in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." To give you guys a little bit of a context of what's kind of going on here in this chapter, chapter 13, if you guys open your Bibles, you guys looking at it. Earlier on, in the first couple of verses, he talks about us as Christians and how to live kind of in this world and submitting to the governing authorities. Kind of an interesting topic. This whole another message. We're not going to get into that. But a message, you know, for us, I think nowadays is pretty relevant about how do we, you know, we as Christians, how do we kind of engage with the world and authority, with the government and stuff like that, submitting to them, the authority of government. He talks about that. And he kind of goes on in the next couple chapters, or next couple verses, and he talks about loving our neighbors, which hopefully for you guys is very familiar, because this whole past quarter we've been talking about, you know, loving God and loving one another and stuff like that. And so he actually emphasizes it here again in Romans 13. He says that, hey, not only are we supposed to submit to authority of the government, we are also supposed to love our neighbors, love one another, you know, and really live out, you know, again, what God, what Christ, what Jesus has taught us to live. And then, at the real end of this chapter, he kind of goes on, he says, now besides all of these things, besides submitting to authorities, besides loving our neighbors, you know, we need to be ready. Again, we need to wake up and get ready because Christ is going to come again. Okay? And so there's kind of two types of Christians, as I was studying this, two types of Christians that he warns us against, or warns us to not be. Okay, don't be these kinds of Christians. All right? And the first one that he talks about is those Christians who are asleep. Okay? Now, he's not talking about actual, you know, Christians who are sleeping in church or anything like that. Okay? But he's talking about a spiritualness of being asleep. All right? So what does it look like for a Christian to be, quote-unquote, asleep in their faith? And as I was thinking about it, I thought about it, and it's like, there's kind of two ways I kind of see this. The first one is, I would call them bandwagon fans or bandwagon Christians, okay? Now, if you guys know, if you're a sports fan, if you're a hardcore sports fan, you might, you know, not like bandwagon fans, okay? And let me explain to you guys what a bandwagon fan is. All right, so a bandwagon fan is somebody who only likes the team because they're doing good, right? So only because of their success, then you kind of glom onto that team. And then if that team is not doing well or in a bad time, then you like, oh, I'm not a fan of them anymore. I go jump onto the next, you know, great team. So if you're a Niners fan, this year is rough, all right? But it's okay, right? So true fans will just stick through it. They love the Niners, even though they, you know, only have one win, and will probably only have one win at the end of the year, maybe two. But anyways, right, that's what a true fan is, right? A loyal fan. But these bandwagon fans, they kind of jump to jump. Whatever team is good, whatever, you know, team is winning, then they'll become a fan of that team, right? And I think, in a sense, as a Christian, someone who is sleeping can kind of be a bandwagon Christian, in the sense of it's just a name that they kind of call themselves. And they are, as I would say, a part-time kind of a Christian. They just kind of show up when things are good, maybe when things are just kind of convenient for them. They kind of pick and choose passages in the Bible that they like, that kind of just apply to them, the blessings for them, and the other stuff about, you know, suffering and loving others, and I don't need to worry about it. You know, they just kind of go through it, not taking their faith really seriously, right? And I think being asleep in a Christian is kind of like that, someone who just isn't fully invested in their faith. Another thing kind of pretty similar to that is one who is a lazy Christian. And kind of, if you want to think about, you know, if you're sleeping or just not really into it, right? Just kind of lazy in their faith. Somebody who just kind of comes and, you know, maybe just shows up, you know, on Sundays and that's it, and kind of makes them feel good because they checked off something in their box, a Christian spiritual thing that they've done. But they're not really committed to the church. They're not really growing in their faith. Not really spending that time with God on their own. Not, you know, again, committed to the church and one another and stuff like that. A lazy kind of Christian. And I think Paul warns us, again, about not being this lazy kind of bandwagon kind of a Christian who just does it when it's convenient, right? Just be a Christian because it sounds good, because everyone else, my friends, kind of are. But are we really a Christian, right? And that's what Paul kind of warns us again. And Jesus does the same thing. If you guys actually look at Matthew chapter 25, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and flip there. I'm going to kind of give a quick overview of Matthew 25. But here in this gospel, in this chapter, Jesus really lays it out about what it looks like to be a committed Christian and not to be kind of a lazy, you know, Christian. And so we're going to look at kind of chapter 25 of Matthew a little bit here. Again, in context, this is Jesus. This is right before Jesus is going to be crucified. And so Jesus is kind of living up. He's been doing his ministry. He's been doing all these parables, teaching all these things. And this is towards the end, and he knows the time for him, you know, to die is coming up. And so these are kind of his final teachings, right? So pretty important. And he starts off by giving this parable of these 10 virgins, okay? And the idea behind this is there's 5 of them that were wise, 5 of them that were unwise. And so there are these 10 women, these 10 virgins, and they're waiting for this bridegroom to show up, all right? The guy who's going to sweep them off their feet, right? And 5 of them are prepared. They prepared oil and lamps and everything ready, so when they come, you know, they can get ready. And the other 5 did not. They were not prepared. They're foolish. And it says that the bridegroom was delayed, or he didn't show up right away, and so they got really tired and they fell asleep. Right? So they all fell asleep, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, you know, someone said, "Hey, the bridegroom is coming. He's coming, right? We got to get ready." So the 5 of them who were ready, they had extra oil, so their lamp, they could light their lamps and they could, you know, get all prepared, look good, you know, for the groom that's coming. But the other 5, their lamp had run out of oil, so it's all dark for them and they can't get ready, so they're like, "Hey, can you know give us some oil?" And the other 5 are like, "No, this is our oil, you know, we need it." And then so the other 5 had to go run out and to buy some oil, but by the time they get back, the groom has already come, the door has already been closed, and they're left outside. And Jesus here, as he was talking about this, is saying, look, you don't know when Christ is going to return. Christ is coming. He is going to come back again. But you don't know when, right? So are you prepared? Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready to present yourself to him? Now, what does that look like for us to present ourselves to God? And Jesus actually, in the next parable, kind of touches upon that, which is the parable of the talents. This one is pretty famous. I think many of us know this. A master, he leaves the country, goes on this trip, But before he goes, he calls three servants in. He gives each servant, you know, delegates some money, some talents to them. He says, hey, go take care of my money for me. I'm going to come back, right? And when he does come back from his trip, right, he kind of gives an account. He says, okay, what have you done with what I've given you? Now, the first two servants, they're like, hey, look at this. I, you know, multiplied it. I used it. I grew what you gave me. I did something with it. The last one, again, did not do anything with his talent, hid it, buried it. And so what does Jesus say to this, or the master say to this servant? Says, kick you out. You're not going to be, you know, part of this anymore, right? You're outside. So, again, in the light of him returning, in the light of Jesus coming again, we are going to stand before God. Each one of us, Christian, not Christian, whether how long you've been a Christian for, whatever it is, we're all going to stand before God, and he is going to give an account to him, right? He's going to say, what have you done with what I have given you, right? Have you actually, you know, used these things, right? Are you, in a sense, are you a real Christian? Are you really living out your faith to me, right? And continuing on in the rest of chapter 25, he kind of hits it home. He makes it very, very clear about the final judgment. And he says, this is what it's going to be like. When he returns again, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Okay, and they're very similar looking, but he's going to separate them. And the sheep are one side, the goats are on one side. And the sheep are the ones who are his true followers, his true believers. And the goats, you know, they get casted out. They don't get to come in to be with him, with the master. And at that time, if you guys kind of look at, again, the ending of chapter 25, there will be some Christians, there will be some people, right, who are going to say, going to stand before God and be like, hey, you know, look, I'm a Christian. And Jesus will say, or God will say, you know, I don't know you. You know, I don't know. Go away from me. And they'll say, what do you mean? Why, you know, why is this the case? And he said, well, you never lived out your faith, right? You never did these things. When I was hungry, when I was poor, when I was weak, you didn't help me. And then they'll say, what do you mean? And he said, well, did you ever help the poor? Did you ever help the needy? When you do those things to those, least of me, you know, you're doing the same to me, right? And in a sense, again, Jesus is just saying here kind of clearly, look, are you really living out your faith, right? Are you really putting it into steps? Are you actually loving those around us? Are you actually helping the needy, helping the poor? Or are you just, again, being a convenient kind of a Christian who just kind of is going by, just kind of going with, you know, whatever, taking it easy, just doing the bare minimum just because it's the easy thing? Now, I know, again, being a bandwagon or a lazy Christian, it's very appealing because it's easy, right? You just kind of have to do it, just do the bare minimum and just kind of get by. But Jesus is really looking for committed Christians, right? People who aren't just going to do it part-time, but really live out their life for God full-time. And one day, again, we are standing before him, and he's going to give us we have to give an account to him. So hopefully we are prepared in that way. Hopefully we are ready for his return so that we can be confident and be like, look, God, yeah, these are the things I've done. Not because it saves us, not because we're saved by works, but because, you know, works is evidence of our faith. Okay? Now the second group of people, Christians, that he kind of talks about back in Romans 13, is those Christians who are, quote-unquote, walking in darkness, okay? Christians who are walking in darkness. And he focuses on kind of four general sins, right? There's sexual immorality, there is drunkenness, there is quarreling, and there is jealousy, right? Four kind of things that he talks about. Now, at the root of all of these sins, and the root of all sin, is it's a selfish kind of a sin. It's a sin that really is just all about you. And this was, you know, very evident back then in the Roman time. That's why, you know, Paul kind of addresses it. But even today, right, these are all things that are really prevalent in today's time as well. And so, again, we kind of look at these four selfish sins, and they all, again, are kind of about themselves, right? So for sexual immorality, it's a selfish desire to satisfy the flesh kind of immediately. Drunkenness, I say, You know, it's not just about drinking, but it's about a desire to overindulge, right? Doing too much, excessive, whatever it is. Quarreling, I see it as a selfishness for a desire to be right. That's why people kind of fight sometimes, is just to be right. Jealousy, selfishness, selfish desire to get more for yourself, right? So again, these all kind of things is all kind of looking at you, right? And the sin is all about you. So, but we see this happening in everyday life, even today. So the first one, again, sexual immorality. This is very, very prevalent. This is a warning that, you know, for all of us, from the internet to even commercials on TV to just whatever it is, like there's, you know, sex sells, you know, and that's why people, you know, try to push that. And there is a battle there that we need to be aware of as Christians. And, you know, sex has kind of twisted, the world has kind of twisted what the view of sex is to make it, just like a quick self-gratifying kind of a thing. Now, sex is good, okay, really quick, side note, right? God made it, and it's a good thing for husbands and wives to enjoy. But again, the world has twisted it. And so for the Romans and for us today, this is something that we need to kind of be aware of, right? To not get caught up in that temptation, not be distracted by those things. The next one is drunkenness, okay? And just in case you guys are curious, this is a good guide for you guys. But drunkenness, as I kind of said it earlier, is not just about drinking, but it's about going too far, right? It's about overindulging in drinking, right? Where you just take it, keep going until you're way past your limit of what you should be drinking. But that can go from anything, right? And that we can take that with, you know, overeating and over Thanksgiving. Like, man, I've been eating a lot over Thanksgiving. This, you know, and it's easy to kind of overindulge ourselves in that way. It could be, you know, oversleeping. It could be overspending. It could be overplaying games, gaming, over whatever it is, where we kind of get so indulged in these things and kind of over excess of these things, right? And that, I think, that is something that Paul warns us again to. Don't be so distracted by just trying to fulfill these things for ourselves and just take care, you know, overindulge ourselves. Another thing that he talks about, again, is quarreling. And again, I see it as a way of people not really listening to each other, people just wanting to be right and not wrong, and people just fighting because they don't listen, right? And they just, it's just who can yell louder, who can have their things, you know, more in the other person's face, and we get caught up kind of in that as well, right? And so hopefully for us, again, this is something that Paul warns us again: don't get so caught up in just trying to be right all the time. Don't just get caught up in trying to, you know, just fight, you know, people and just have your way be done, whatever it is. But can we work together? Can we actually love each other? Right? Show grace, show humility. Understand each other, people who are different than us, people who we might not like exactly, but can we, again, relate with them and love them? Okay, and then the last one, again, that Paul talks about is jealousy. He talks about this in the sense that, hey, you know, it's all about, you know, what can I get for myself, right? As people who are jealous is really, they look out and they see, they start comparing each other and start desiring what other people have. Whether it's their home, whether it's their job, whether it's their stuff, their clothes, their cars. Sometimes even husbands, wives, kids, we get jealous about other people's, you know, whatever they have, right? That's, you know, and it's easy, again, to start comparing and start looking out in that way. And Paul warns us, again, don't fall into that trap. So again, all of these kind of a sins, I think, is it's a distraction for us. And this is a distraction. There's so much kind of going on in this world that it's easy for us to kind of get distracted by what God really wants us to do, right? And again, Paul warns us. He's coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. So don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by all these kind of things that's kind of going around in the world. And it's so easy to get kind of caught up in all these things of the world. Don't get distracted by those things. So what are we supposed to do? And Paul tells us here in Romans 13, you need to be equipped, right? We need to wear, put on the full armor of God, right? And we see that in other places in the Bible as well, right? This was our youth retreat design a couple years ago. But kind of cool. You need to put on the full armor of Christ. In Ephesians, he talks about that, and that's a whole nother sermon on its own. But the idea behind it all, about why we need to equip ourselves, put on this armor, Paul says put on Jesus, is because we are in a spiritual warfare. Okay, the underlying thing is Satan is also really real. Satan is out there. He's trying to trip us up as Christians. He is trying to distract us. He's trying to make us, you know, fall into these different temptations. And so, for us to be prepared, how do we do it? We need to put on the full armor of God, right? We need to be walking in His Word. We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to, you know, have our, you know, be also tell other go and live out our faith. We have to do all these things, right? We have to be aware. Peter, the Apostle Peter, he also writes about kind of being awake and alert, but he does it in the sense of a spiritual warfare kind of thing. He says in 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so here we are, as I conclude this message, Paul warns us again, okay, to stay awake, to wake up, to be alert, all right? For us to not just to, again, be a Christian who just kind of goes on with the flow, who just kind of tries to get by, but really be a Christian who is, you know, committed to God, right? Fully committed to God. And then also, on the flip side of it, again, the world has a lot of distractions, a lot of temptations. Don't get so caught up, don't get so distracted by those things that you aren't living as Christ desires you to live. All right, so go ahead, wake up and live. All right, for those of you, again, hopefully this is something as a reflection for you guys. If you are, you think of yourself and you're like, oh, I'm a, you know, a lazy Christian, a just kind of a bandwagon Christian, I encourage you guys, you know, wake up, you know, get up and really get involved, right? Really take your faith seriously. Really try to commit and use the things that God has given you. For those of you guys who are just being so distracted by the world, you know, and being tempted and falling to those temptations, you know, wake up, you know, be alert, you know, be ready, fight, you know, fight back. Put on the full armor of Christ. Put on Jesus in your life so that you can be able to live as God desires you to live. All right? Wake up. Wake up, you guys. Wake up and live. All right, let me go ahead and pray, and then I think Frank will do a prayer thing with you guys, and then the worship team will have a song response. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I want to thank you again just for this reminder from Paul that you are going to return. You are coming back again one day, and for us to just be ready for that return. That in these days leading up to that time, we don't know when you're going to return, but we pray that we would really live for you, that that we would commit to you fully, that we would be able to resist the temptations that come in our lives, and that we would be able to be ready for your coming so that we can just be confident in our faith in you. So we pray that you would continue to help us to not miss this out, this the big event, and that we would wake up and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, please join with me in the prayer of the people.